May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable unto thee, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Happy St. Catherine of Alexandria feast day. And is it wonderful that the Tampa Bay Children's Choir uniforms are red? We're all matching this morning. We're all in red. Now, we've taken a little liberty with the liturgical calendar. With this day, we have set aside to celebrate our patron saint, who is St. Catherine of Alexandria. Now, you may know that St. Catherine of Alexandria is the lesser known of the saints named Catherine. And there are not very many Episcopal churches with her name, so that makes us a little unique. But you already knew that. There's St. Catherine of Siena. She's probably the best known one. There's St. Catherine of Genoa. And in fact, St. Catherine of Alexandria isn't even a saint in the Episcopal calendar of saints. But she is a saint in the Roman Church, and her day is celebrated on the 24th of November. And she's a very important saint in the Orthodox Church, with which we have much in common as well. And they celebrate her feast day on November the 25th, which will be next Sunday. Now, according to Wikipedia, St. Catherine of Alexandria is one of the 14 most helpful saints in heaven. One of the 14 most helpful saints in heaven. I'm assuming that means that many people who pray to the saints, as we do sometimes in the Episcopal Church and in the Orthodox Church and in the Catholic Church, as a part of our prayer, we can pray also through the saints, I would say, that many people have prayed to her over the ages. She is considered the patron saint of theologians and philosophers, because she was very, very learned, and she argued against and argued the case for Christianity with the philosophers of her time, and she beat them in the argument. She is also the patron saint of young women and women students in particular, of preachers, of wheelwrights. You might not know what that is, but I don't know that we have too many wheelwrights anymore, but there are people who make wheels, like used to be on carts and wagons and things like that. Old-fashioned kind of wheels. And mechanics. So she's very well-rounded. I didn't mean it that way. They laughed at 8 o'clock and I didn't even get it. I meant, yeah, I didn't mean it. That's a bad pun. Okay. Okay. Good. Okay. Not only is this St. Catherine's Day, but it's also a day of thanksgiving for this community. And so I want to say some thank yous before the sort of more serious part of the sermon starts. And I want to start by thanking the Tampa Bay Children's Choir. Thank you for being with us this morning. And, of course, their founder and director, Averill Summer, for being with us and sharing their gift of music with us. Because, as you know, most of you know, St. Catherine's has been the host for the Tampa Bay Children's Choir rehearsals ever since it began, when Averill began the group many years ago. 20 years ago?
24
years ago. So I also want to thank all those of St. Catherine's who have worked and prayed and shared stories with us during this season of blessing. And thank you to everybody who helped with our wonderful worship and picnic last week. We had a picnic out there on the grounds. It was wonderful. And to the Brotherhood of Loaves and Fishes, some of whom are in here and some of whom are probably in the kitchen and maybe they can hear me, who are providing not one but two breakfasts this morning. We had a wonderful breakfast after the 8 o'clock service, which was unusual. We always have a wonderful breakfast after this service. And by the way, everyone is invited to join us for breakfast after this service. And thank you to all those who have given and continue to give to the work of God through this place, through St. Catherine's. I want to go back to the letter to the Hebrews for a few minutes, and the end of this passage that we had today. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who has promised is faithful. And let us consider how to provoke one another to love and good deeds, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another. This is a bold reminder of the importance of community for the life of faith. As followers of Christ, we are called to be part of an interdependent community. That means we need to depend upon one another. We are called to be a community that holds on to the hope of God's promises, meets together regularly for worship and nurture and challenge, and actively supports its members of all ages in living out their baptismal vows. Now, we live in a culture, our Western culture, in which the individual is celebrated and individual accomplishments are celebrated. And there's nothing wrong with that, but the emphasis is so much on the individual that many times the community is overlooked. And I think that in our culture, dependence on anyone or anything, even God, is sometimes seen as a sign of weakness. So in this culture in which we live, which is highly individualistic, it is actually a radical statement to say that we need community. We need community. Now, I have a Peanuts cartoon to share with you. Do you all know about Peanuts? Charlie Brown, Lucy, Linus. Okay. This one has Lucy and Charlie Brown. And Charlie Brown in this cartoon is reading a newspaper, and Lucy is with him. Charlie Brown says, "It says here that young people of today don't believe in any causes." "That's not true at all," says Lucy. "I believe in a cause. I believe in me. I'm my own cause. If I'm not a cause, what is? I believe in the cause of good old me. That's the cause I believe in. I'm the best cause I know, and I believe in that cause." "Good grief," says Charlie Brown as he turns away. That's the culture that we live in, really. It really is. And one cannot be a Christian alone without a community of faith. It's simply impossible. Even those few people who are called to a vocation, sometimes we call them anchorites or holy hermits, even those people who are called to solitude are connected in some way to a faith community, a monastery, a convent, something like that. They all have community. And it is in the worshiping community that we are formed and transformed as people of God. In our community, we share our times of joy, new relationships, marriages, births, adopting a child, baptisms, graduations and other life transitions, and confirmation and adult reaffirmation of our baptismal vows, all in the context of our worshiping community. And it is in this community as well that we can find deep solace and comfort in times of grief. I was reminded of that yesterday. We had a funeral here for a member who had not been active for many years, but he had been an important part, he and his wife, of this community, and people came from this parish, came to the service and talked about how wonderful and how important their connections were, their life connections, and raising their children in this parish. And it was a really important sign to his family that the importance of the faith community. Sometimes, in times of grief, we have trouble praying for ourselves, but others can pray for us. Other people in the community can help us find and hold on to our dreams and support us in our life of faith. And it is in the community of faith that we find a cause larger than Lucy, larger than our own self, a shared cause of working for the healing of the world. It is in the community of faith that we are given strength to be co-creators with God. Now, this phrase from the letter to the Hebrews really struck me because the language is very interesting. Let us consider how to provoke one another to love and good deeds. Provoke one another to love and good deeds. The Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. used this vision of the Christian community in his famous letter from the Birmingham jail that he wrote to the clergy of Birmingham in order to provoke them to good works, to include active resistance to racism. And it worked. This language also, it can be translated, we incite one another to good works. Now, I don't know about you, but incite, when I hear the word incite, I think about inciting to something negative, not something positive. So this is strong language in this letter. And it raises some questions, I think. So as members of St. Catherine's or any faith community, how do we provoke or incite one another to good works? How do we encourage one another in our faith journeys? How do we work with the tension between personal piety and personal responsibility for our spiritual life and communal responsibility? There's another Peanuts cartoon I couldn't resist that speaks to this. This time it's Lucy and Linus. Lucy is jumping rope, and Linus comes up and asks her, "Do you ever pray, Lucy?" And she stops jumping. "That's kind of a personal question, isn't it? Are you trying to start an argument? I suppose you think you're somebody pretty smart, don't you? I suppose you think..." Well, the next frame shows Linus sitting next to Charlie Brown, holding onto his blanket. "You're right, Charlie Brown. Religion is a very touchy subject." Well, it's true. And sometimes we, even in the community of faith, sometimes we don't risk enough to share our stories with one another or our faith journeys with one another. But a wonderful example of members of St. Catherine's doing this could be called holy agitation in community is the marvelous series of talks that we had over the past 6 weeks where our own members shared their own stories of being blessed by God and offering that blessing back to God. So we had personal stories, heartfelt sharing of faith, suggestions, encouragement, challenge, and humor. It was all there in a most wonderful way. You see, these things are contagious. A generous community will grow more generous. A loving community will grow more loving. A compassionate community will grow more compassionate. These gifts of the Holy Spirit not only magnify themselves in community, they also help attract others to this community, others who have those gifts and are in need of those gifts. And as you know, St. Catherine's is blessed to be a truly generous, loving, and compassionate community. And that is only more, is more important than ever, to have that kind of community with our diversity. And we are fairly diverse in this congregation, certainly politically and theologically. We are diverse because we live in a culture that has lost whatever skills it used to have true dialogue. And we are polarized in our culture, politically and theologically, and frozen into opposing camps. And we live in a world that desperately needs to learn again how to have true dialogue in relationship. And we live in a world that desperately needs to learn how to live peacefully with greater and greater diversity. So as we celebrate our patron saint today with all of our guests who are here in our Tampa Bay Children's Choir, may God continue to bless us with courage to be co-creators as we move into our future together. May God help us to become holy agitators in this community. People who by our lives and witness stir up those around us to deeds of love and compassion. May we always hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for God, who has promised, is ever faithful. Amen.